Gene Hemrick here, reporting from Lima, Peru. This is my third report. Since I last reported, I took many more walks through the neighborhood. It's interesting, the first time you come here and you see this impoverished area, you think that that's all there is to it, but when you start walking through the neighborhood, you see another side. First of all, there are homes that are crumbling, a lot of rubble around, many dirt streets. But then, too, there are some very beautiful streets and also little parks and also some homes that are architecturally absolutely beautiful. In fact, there was one I thought sort of, you know, well, it sort of reflected a Frank Lloyd Wright aura about it. It was very nice. It's interesting, unless you walk the neighborhood, engage in people, you can have nothing but a really bad impression of this area. But once you get into it and really become part of it, you realize that there are many, many spots in it that are well worth seeing, they're beautiful, and they're uplifting. So amidst the rubble, yes, there is also some very, very beautiful, beautiful places. Yesterday, we decided to go into Lima, the city itself, and we decided to take a taxi. By the way, taxis are very, very cheap here. Well, the ride in was better than any roller coaster you could have at an entertainment park. I mean, this driver was absolutely magnificent as far as being able to weave in and out of traffic. But one of the things here about traffic is that there are very few traffic lights. So as long as you can weave in and out, you just can keep going, and this is what this gentleman did. I mean, he could have been a race car driver. And then every so often we'd come to a congested spot, and boom, down the side of the street he would go, and we would pick up the road further down. Also, here we have the highways are not the greatest, and every so often you hit a chuck hole, and you feel like you're going to end up on the top of the car instead of being in it. We finally got downtown, we, meaning one of the other priests here, Father Roberto, who works down in with the bishop's office there, and he showed me around that compound, which is absolutely beautiful. You go inside a courtyard, very bright, light colors, beautiful terrazzo floors. I mean, it's palatial and very much in line with the architecture that you find throughout the city of Lima. By the way, I was told Lima, early on, when Pizarro discovered it and settled there, was the center of South America. And when you look at the Spanish influence here, and you look at the buildings and the way things are laid out, you can see why this was considered the center. After touring the bishop's conference there, I was on my own, so I walked down the street to the square, which is always beautiful in these South American countries. A wide open, beautiful square. At one end, the cathedral. At another end, the palace itself. And then some beautiful state buildings around it in Spanish style. Again, I will put these pictures of this on the internet for you to see. I went over to the cathedral, and you have to pay to get in, and I told them I was a un sacerdote de USA, and they wanted to see my papers, and I didn't really have the papers, because what they wanted to see was Father Hemrick in a collar. Well, all the pictures I have are not in a collar, and they pointed it out. No, no collar. I said, no, I don't wear the collar. So, but they let me in, and it was delightful. I went in there, and the first of all, extremely clean, very much unlike many of the churches in Rome. Beautiful terrazzo floors and tiled floors. The layout was magnificent, and then the side altars, so many as beautiful side altars with wood carvings that were magnificent. So I began to take some pictures of that, which will be on the internet, which you can see. And then also they had the Stations of the Cross, and I would, without the exaggeration, say that each one was a magnificent painting in itself. I mean, these were first class paintings. So I took a picture of one of the Stations of the Cross and just sculpted out the entire cathedral. Within it, as you come in the door to the right, they have a whole sanctuary there for Pizarro, who discovered and settled there in Lima. And they have his remains there. And of course, they have pictures of all of the bones that are in that particular coffin that is there. It's quite a nice room with beautiful mosaics all around it. After leaving the cathedral, I happened to step outside and talk to the fellow who was taking care of the door. And we had one wonderful discussion about what goes on here in the United States and how we have our cathedrals and basilicas and what they're like. From there, I went to the square and scoped it out, took a couple of pictures of the palace. It's nice, nothing, you know, extravagant, a beautiful design, but very, I would say, nothing out of the ordinary of a palace. From there, I began to walk the streets, and this was, to me, interesting. First of all, the Spanish architecture is all around there, and they have, like, these porches that hang out over a building. I don't know what they call them. I asked, but I as yet haven't gotten an answer for it, but it's very unique to Spain and quite nice. And then every so often, you come across just a marvelous piece of architecture with the colors being a yellow and white, almost rococo, and the design just being something that you want to step back and, you know, really drink in. What really struck me in Lima itself is how clean the streets and sidewalks are. That they have people all over cleaning up. I was told that one of the reasons for this is that this is the way you attract people downtown to shop. And shop they do. I mean, they have every type of shop you would conceive. And it's amazing, you'll go down the street and then you look to, it looks like an entrance to a little shop, but really it's a whole mall in itself. And of course they have shoes and clothes and cameras and whatever. So I drank that in and block after block watched people with their little shopping bags and enjoying a day out in the big city. I walked to the river. They have a river that goes by there, and right now apparently there's a lot of rain coming from the mountains, so it was gushing. And then I tried to see where I might want to eat, and there's places all over that you can eat. You can eat outdoors, you can eat indoors. Very inexpensive for lunch. Maybe $2.50, $3 for a nice lunch. Lots of chicken and lots of fish. And I must say, as a cook, I have to learn what the seasonings they have here, but the food is really well seasoned. They use a lot of potatoes and a lot of rice, but when you get it, it's so well seasoned. And then when I say well seasoned, I mean it's not hot, it's not overbearing, but there's a very nice flavor. I was told that the Peruvian cuisine is one of the finest in South America, and that even in our country in the USA, they really are really considered primo, number one, as far as cooking goes. I have had fish here, which has been, it's the best fish I ever had. And it was a white fish, but well prepared. And of course, they have their different types of drinks. One I had for lunch, which was made out of potatoes, and it was delightful. It was sort of a little bit syrupy, but very, very nice flavor to it. And then as I walked around, I couldn't but help think, it's clean, typical of a city, people buying everywhere, shopping that is, and how much shopping is a part of the world now. I mean, this is really what you might call people's entertainment during the day, to get out and to see what is out there that might be attractive, looking maybe for this or that, and there's a certain esprit de corps, a certain upliftedness of atmosphere when you do shop. I can understand now more, it hit me, how people look forward to shopping, and that really is very pervasive in their lives as far as what they consider to make a good life. You know, finding something and just shopping around and seeing what's out there. I met my friend, Father Roberto, who took me downtown, and we had a lunch. It was a very nice lunch. Again, potatoes, well seasoned chicken, and a little dessert, which was very simple and plain. And then we decided, no taxi this time, only we take bus. Well, the bus cost, I think, about 35 cents. And that is another real experience. For the reason being that this bus was sort of like an express bus going back to where we live. And fortunately, I had the privilege, if you want to call it that, of sitting in a seat in which I could look back over everybody on the bus. And I turned to Roberto and I said, I think it might be out of place to take a picture here. Would it be? And he said, yes. So I didn't. But it was fascinating looking at the different ages that were there and the expressions on the people and just, you know, tooling, as it were, through Lima back to our place here. I got back here. It was about 3 o'clock. I must say I was a little bit more sunburned than when I started out. The sun here is very high right now and very, very hot and warm, which is nice. And after talking to a few people here later on in the evening, we went out, as we do every evening, and we go to a different chapel, which is run by the Holy Cross priest, and we had Mass. And I was fortunate enough to be with a couple of seminarians who were trying to learn English, and we had a lot of fun between me trying to speak Spanish and they trying to speak English. And I asked them what they were studying, and they said, well, they were studying Greek. And I asked them how they liked it, and they said, oh, very difficult. And then I was telling them that our classes used to be in Latin, Latin. And, oh, wow, that was something else. And it was interesting. I said, now, you go ahead, you speak English, and now, you know, you're going to make mistakes and make a fool out of yourself. That's okay. I'll try to speak Spanish, and I'll make a fool out of myself. And that opened up one of the seminarians, and he did. He tried to speak English, and we hit it off. Just as a side, when I go to church, I try to listen to the Spanish and try to figure out what it is. And the last few Masses, I kept hearing adios. I'm thinking, adios? Adios means goodbye. Why are they always talking about adios, goodbye? Well, in Spanish, adios means to God or for God's sake. To God, adios. And when you say it quickly, it's adios. Illumination. And it's interesting, more and more words are starting to make sense here. It's fun. I love languages, and anybody who comes to a country should have at least a smattering of their country's language, because it is just enjoyable to figure out another word. As we were walking home from Mass, my brother John Benish, with whom I'm staying, looked at this sign. He said, now, what does that mean? It was diurno o noche. And I said, well, it says, do not park here. And then I didn't know what the diurno meant. And he said, well, that means daily or noche, at night, during the day or during the night. So I said, well, the word for day is dios. He said, yeah, but this is diurno. And I said, what's the difference? He said, get a dictionary and look it up. So I'm learning, and it's really a lot of fun. Just walking down the sidewalks and observing the people, the dogs that are there, lots of dogs, the mothers with their little children. There was a couple in front of us at Mass, three lovely little daughters that are long black hair, and the one sister cuddling the other. I've never seen anything more beautiful, maybe. Maybe I'm a little too romantic being here, but it was beautiful to see. Well, that is Lima, Peru, a la Gene Hemrick, third installation.